The good. The bad. The ugly.
Welcome to Sustain Nutrition's podcast, Chewing the Fat, where Joe and James will be discussing all things good, bad and ugly regarding training and nutrition. So pull up your pants, put your best foot forward and get ready for some serious oral pleasure. Without further ado, here are your hosts, Joe and James.
Sustain.
Nutrition.
Chewing.
The
Fat.
Podcast.
I don't know if we need to say that anymore because we don't say the episodes, but I think it's 156.
Only we don't say the episodes because we've been doing joint ones and it's embarrassing to do this in front of other people.
Joe, what are we talking about?
Talking about extreme ownership, part two.
Own harder.
Pardon?
I don't know. I always like a diehard thing, die harder, die hard three, and a good day to die hard, extreme ownership two. Own harder. I don't know.
It's good that.
You're welcome. I'm just spitballing. I'm throwing them out there. I'm the creative genius behind sustained nutrition.
I'm looking forward to seeing that on iTunes. How many that's going to take up. So what's extreme ownership part one?
Oh, God, you want me to go back to that? It's about which one we're going to talk about again today. Taking responsibility for not just your actions, but things that happen to you to a certain degree. You know, there's a good saying, isn't it? Like, it's not your fault, but it's your responsibility. So that came from a really good book by Jocko Willink, ex-Navy SEAL, full-time hairless gorilla, jiu-jitsu animal who trains at 4:30 in the morning. And if you listen to the book, it has got a lot of military stories, but it's about him. If you take ownership, then you can make changes. If things just constantly happen to you, you're not taking responsibility for them. It's an outside factor. Well, there's nothing I could do because this happened to me. Once you take that responsibility, then you can take charge of that situation and you can learn from it and you can grow from it and you can change your approach moving forward. Oh, take a breath.
Yeah, I think it's also, there's a few other things too. It's not only does it give you a bigger chance of success, it makes you a better person to be around and it also makes you happier too. And so we're going to dig into, as we've developed over the past few years, this is something that we've kind of taken on more and more, I guess, and learned more about. And so that's what we want to talk about today. I guess to go back to one of the really good stories from that book, it's a good place to start. As he says, he had two recruits and they're both sent out to lead separate teams and both their missions go wrong. And one of them comes in and says, well, I couldn't get the mission done because it rained. We set off late and we didn't have the supplies. And someone else comes in and goes, I didn't have a plan for what happened if it rained. I didn't explain to everybody why it was important, so we set off late. And I hadn't ordered extra supplies, so it meant we didn't have enough. Next time, I'll have a rain plan. I'll communicate better. I'll order more supplies. So you've got one person there who's taken no responsibility and blamed the external circumstances, and the other person who's taken responsibility and found a solution. Who is the person that you would hire for your organization? Who would you rather work with? Who is going to get better results long term? It's always going to be that person who takes that responsibility, who takes that ownership. And very often, the difference is that the person who takes responsibility has just got to feel worse short term because they are the ones who failed. They are the ones who didn't do things properly. So the person who says, well, it's the weather's fault, other people's, you know, it's the supply chain, who passes on that responsibility, who feels like they're then doing a better job, ironically doesn't longer term. And this is something that you see a lot as a nutrition coach. Is people blaming, and it's a difficult word, but I'll use it for now and I'll change it when we use the examples. People blaming things outside of their control, and they will blame their age or their gender or their hormones or their partner or their children or school or weather or house moves or somebody dying, any different situation. And this is not to say those things don't make life harder, but as James said, they're not your fault. But they are your responsibility. And if you start taking responsibility of those things, you're then in a place to change. You then have more control. And one of the key problems that people have is they don't have control. If you look at the things that make people unhappy, is when they don't feel like they've got control over their future. And this is why in a work environments where you give people ownership of tasks, where you give them responsibility, because it makes people feel good. And so what can feel like a negative, that you haven't achieved your goals or haven't done the things that you should, can actually be quite a big positive longer term.
Going back to that, the examples that you gave from the book with the two different recruits, it's that classic like fixed mindset, sound like Sean Connery, fixed mindset, chief of Cumlose, and then the growth mindset, you know, the fixed mindset being like, these things happen to me, that's just the way it is, there's nothing I could do about it, versus a growth mindset of like, these are the things that happened, this is what I'm going to do next time to ensure that it doesn't happen. I'm going to learn from this and I'm going to get better. And that's the only opportunity for that person to get better, isn't it? Like, right, what went wrong? You know, it's a big part of our coaching plan is to do the weekly reflections and then the monthly reflections and look back and go, right, what's not worked and how can I get better at doing that? I'm always on at my clients is when you look at, so they'll set mini goals or even on the reflection, right, this is why I did this. This is what I do different. Okay. So, you know, I wouldn't eat the 3 sausage rolls, even just because they were a pound. Okay. That's what you want to achieve. How are you going to make sure that you don't do that next time? So it's opening that mindset up to go, right, let me learn from this. You know, I got an outcome, wasn't the outcome that I wanted. What can I learn from it? How will I make sure or make it less likely for that to happen moving forward? And that's that growth mindset. It's taking responsibility and going, right, this is something that I can change. Again, instead of that, I talk about like, victim mode is probably not the best thing to say, but it kind of makes sense with the analogy. Someone just walks along and starts hitting you. You just go, oh, you just shell up. There's nothing you can do about that. If you start fighting back, then you can take control of that fight. Hopefully people stick with that analogy. Maybe I shouldn't use fighting analogies all the time. Should go back to using cars. But it's that idea, right? I can do something about this, which, you know, as you said, it's so empowering because then all of a sudden, I can take control of the situation. I can change this moving forward. Stuff's going to go wrong. You know, you have to mess up to learn. You know, that's all winners have lost at some point. So just getting over your ego, going, right, okay, this didn't work. I'm going, right, what could I do in this situation? What can I do different? What can I take from this situation and change moving forward?
It isn't to say to ignore the negatives either. It's not to say that these things don't have a difference, or that, you know, if there are things that you should always change what you can. And ultimately, you can't change your gender or your age. You're probably going to struggle to really change. Okay, 2023. Yeah, very sorry.
Controversial.
But you get what I'm saying, is that any complaints, send them to Amy at Sustain Nutrition. No. And so you have to then, you know, you can either focus on the problems, you can focus on the things that are stopping you, or you can focus on the areas that you can work on. And I think it's always interesting to see when people come against obstacles that they are so certain that's the way it is. So I had a friend of mine who had an operation on his knee recently. And he said, oh, you know, the physio, the consultant said this. And so I'm never going to be able to run or play football again. And I was like, what? Your knee was getting better for 8 weeks and then you've regressed. And he said this. I was like, so is there not a sign in there that, you know, maybe there is worth getting a second opinion? And actually, to be fair to him, to his credit, not that he's ever going to listen to this, but he came back and said, I'm going to get a second opinion. And so often this happens that people will get one knockback. They will be told something by someone at some moment in time, and they will hold on to that. Now that might be someone telling you weren't very athletic as a child, or it might be someone saying something nasty to you at work. And people hold on to these negative thoughts as if they have been tattooed to their eyelids. And then somebody says the opposite and they completely ignore it. Well, that's not the case. How do you know that? And it's very difficult because we have certain things in our lives that we hold on to because they're just what we've always done. I don't know if I've told you this yet. Have I told you that I'm going to start training at the gym a bit less?
No, I don't think so.
No, I've not told you this. So I would traditionally go to the gym Monday to Friday. I'll be there for 6 a.m. I'll train for an hour. So I'll lose kind of an hour and 20, an hour 30 in the morning. Now, the morning is like my golden time. It's when I'm the most focused, I'm the most aware. I've never got on my phone. I can work really well. And I did a talk at my old secondary school last week about male body image, about the pressures on young men. And I realized, as I was listening to the talk, was at lunchtime, I was in the gym in the morning. It's like, how many hours have I spent in the gym in my life? And I reckon, so we're looking 20 years, 4 hours a week, looking at about 4,000 hours. Now that's before any of the travel time, before any of the planning of my workouts, before the fact I worked in the gym for 5 years. I was like, oh my God, I've spent a huge amount of time on this. And why did I do it? Well, the talk was reminding me of this, was that I wanted to have bigger arms. I wanted to be bigger so I could be more confident and I could talk to women more effectively. And I was like, and now I'm 32, been in a relationship for nearly 4 years, and I'm still running on this outdated process that I was so certain was essential. I was like, if you look at how well I track my food and my exercise compared to how I track some parts of Sustain. Now, I'm very good with my clients. I'm very good with our accounts. I'm very poor at tracking other metrics that we have, social media, things like that. And I was like, you're tracking your hobbies better than you're tracking your job. And what's the most important thing in my life right now? Well, there's two things. One of them is growing Sustain as best I can because I love doing it. And the second thing is living a really good life with Chrissy. So therefore, I need Sustain to be successful so we can have more money to do nice things with. I was like, so you're giving up your prime time every morning to get bigger arms for something that you don't need at the detriment of doing the thing that gives purpose to your life and means you can live a higher quality of life with your girlfriend. And I had this moment of like, what are you doing? You know, and so I normally train 4 days a week. I'd normally train weekdays. So now I'm going to train Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday. I'm going to condense those four sessions into three, which then frees up nearly 6 hours of work to do on Sustain. And it was this thing of, and just to tie my long monologue back to an end, is that there's so many things that people don't take responsibility for because they don't think it's an option. And I did not think, it sounds ridiculous to say it out loud, I did not think I could move my training around to benefit Sustain. It never crossed my mind. And if someone had said to me, you know, we've worked with a lot of mentors too. If somebody had said to me, show me what your week looks like. And every morning I could have showed them that gym and they could have said, you know, somebody could have picked that up and then I might have realized. But you don't know what you don't know. You have these blind spots. And this is why listening to stuff like this is useful. This is why tracking your time, writing these things down, might be journaling, might be meditating, the reflection tasks that we put in, look at what you're doing, because only then will you start to pick these things up. You know, I've run on that outdated process. You know, how long have I stopped being bothered by this stuff? Well, the last couple of years, I could have picked up at any point, but I didn't. And it's only now that I have done it. The more you do this, the more you reflect, the more responsibility you take, then the better your life can be and the more changes that you can make. And so it's, I guess, just a reminder that you just don't know when these things are going to come up, but you will never find them if you don't look.
And the thing is it doesn't have to be, like you said, set in stone. You could find out in 3 months' time, you're like, oh, actually, I want to go back to the gym for 4 days per week, or go back to what you were doing before, but you've got to try these different things. You know, we talk a lot with clients about, you know, challenging beliefs. The only way to challenge a belief is say something that you've just done all the time. Well, whenever I go to McDonald's, I always get a Big Mac, large fries and a Coke. You know, okay, well, next time go and order the chicken wrap. You might not want to, you might still want that large, you know, Big Mac meal, but just get the chicken wrap and a Diet Coke and see how that feels. And then once you challenge that belief, you go, actually, yeah, that was bang on. I felt great. And the day after, I was really chuffed. I felt really, really chuffed that I hadn't had, you know, 1,500 calories worth of a Big Mac. So then that challenges belief. That belief is challenged, and then you can change it. But so often we go through with kind of like the blinkers on, like, this is just what I do. This is just the way it is. And don't take, you know, that growth mindset, that idea that, well, actually, I can change this. This is something that's in my control. You know, from our perspective, I suppose, from the people listening to you, and again, this is not a criticism. I don't want you to think that me and Joe are kind of like bagging on people and not making fun of people, but going like, oh, this is so stupid, because, you know, Joe just said a statement that he says saying out loud sounds stupid. We do loads of stupid stuff ourselves, and you've got to challenge that. So you might have kind of heard yourself saying this, when people blame the partners. Well, then my husband doesn't help. He brings on crisps and chocolate, so I have to have it. Or he offers me a drink. Like, no, take responsibility for it. You can still turn down that drink. You know, even on a small degree. So if I go home tonight, and Tanya's like, "Oh, I'll cook dinner." And then I get home, she's like, "Look, I just ran out of time. I've got fish and chips." I can't just go, "Well, there's no other option," like, because I have to take responsibility and go, right, I gave the responsibility for cooking my dinner to Tanya that evening. But then I've still got the responsibility where I chose to have the fish. I would 100% have the fish and chips.
I would as well.
Yeah, of course I would. But that's still somewhat my responsibility. It's not, you know, I gave up that permission or option to cook my own or source my own dinner, so to speak. And again, these are quite extreme. I wouldn't expect you to go and go, right, no, I'm not eating that. But still have to take responsibility, because then it's empowering. It's something that I could have changed. I could have said, I'll sort my own dinner, or I'll get dinner, I'll make sure that we've got dinner in, or whatever it is. So even just small things like that, again, just take responsibility. You don't have to change everything, but you have to acknowledge, yes, this is my responsibility still.
And you don't have to. You can just let this go if you want to. And I think we put a post out this week talking about the menopause and talking about areas that you can control. And it's very difficult to put across a full statement in social media world. And this is not, I'm going to say this, I think for the third time in this podcast now, this is not for us to be dismissive of the struggles that people have. And, you know, as I said, with my example, you everyone does the, and James used the word there that I use of saying, we make stupid decisions. And they're not stupid, because you're doing the best that you can with the skills you've got at this moment in time.
With the awareness that you've got, sorry, just supported with the awareness that you've got, and that's a big part of coaching, is to ask those questions. And just to cover my own back on that menopause post, it was aimed as a question. It did fire up a few people. Whereas going, people I see, and I work with a lot of people who aren't covering some basic stuff, and they're not covering the basics due to these menopausal symptoms. They've not got the brain fog. They've not got the, you know, chronic fatigue that a lot of people suffer from. They're just not doing the basics. But then they're going, well, is it my hormones? Is it the menopause? It's like, you need to take responsibility. The fact that you're not planning your meals, that you're not scheduling your high-calorie foods, that you're not doing your daily activity, that you're not reflecting on these things, you're not looking at improving yourself. That was the whole purpose of the post. I think some people skim read, and that, again, that's the joy of social media, and it's easy people to go, I'll read the first paragraph, I'll read the headline, and then I'll put my comment in there. So, sorry, back to you, Joe.
No, not at all. And it's and there's a lot of self-growth to be done with this. You know, we had a complaint recently from somebody, and their responses were quite contradictory. And I thought about speaking to them about it. And it's, you've just got to be willing and open to be criticized and to take that feedback on board. And I think that often people don't feel very heard. So with the social media posts that we put out, is that people didn't feel like we were taking full note of the issues that people have. And we are, but also our job is to help people to change. And so if we just go through all the things that people are doing right and how well they're doing and how difficult it is, then we're not going to have the impact that we can have. And ultimately, when you live in the Instagram world, you've got 10 seconds to get your point across. And the point that we have, this is the joy with long form content, is we've been chunching on about this stuff for 25 minutes, but you don't have that time for the majority. So we have to focus on what you control. So here's the soundbite: take responsibility for as many things as you can and work on those. And if you find that offensive, then ask why. Like, why is that bothering you so much? So that might be because you don't feel like we're taking full note of the situation. Maybe it's for any number of reasons. But that's getting lost in the ego and who you are, and looking for to try to protect that ego, to defend yourself. And maybe that's for any number of reasons, and that's going to be harder for some people and easier for others. But again, it's a skill that can be cultivated, and it's something that will benefit you. Taking that personal responsibility is really, really important. The reason we did this podcast today, I mentioned it a couple of times. I went to a talk by a happiness psychologist in Leeds, a guy called Andy Cope, who's got a few books. And he said the two keys to helping people to be happy are personal responsibility and positivity. And I thought that'd be a really good podcast. We'll do that. It obviously ties in some of the stuff that we've seen recently. But But having that ability to take as many things on as possible facilitates your happiness. Whereas if everything else is outside of your control, if I lack the awareness because I wasn't shown it by my parents, and if, you know, I'm not very confident because I was bullied at school or whatever it may be, all these different things then mean that I am, you know, like a blade of grass in the wind. I'm really fragile. I'm blown around by whatever's going on. Then suddenly if there's global recession, then that's a massive issue for me or whatever it may be. And again, it's not, fourth time, not to be dismissive of other people's problems, but there's only so many things that you can control, and you have to do those things in order to be happy. And I get that it turns the heat on you, and it means that you are at fault ultimately. And I understand that people struggle with that, but it's then letting those things go. It's not a blame piece. It's just something to work on going forwards. If I look back on all the things I've done wrong running Sustain, I would have an awful lot of notes. I'd have binders and binders full of mistakes that I've made and things that I've done wrong. So the key is to just focus on going forwards and what you're going to do. It's not about beating yourself up and dwelling on the past. It's just about doing the best you can as you move forward, or even in the present moment. If we think about me achieving my goals, I can't control how many clients we're going to get in 2024. But what I can do is I can post content out today, and I can talk to people today, and I can do this podcast today, and I can do my client calls to the best of my ability today. So those are the things that we need to work on. I think very often people will get lost in the past and why they ended up here, or they'll get lost in the future about what they're going to do. And it just becomes this storm and this chaotic environment. And so just, again, being present, focus on what you can work on today, take responsibility for as many things as possible.
Yeah, you can't have other people being responsible for your happiness as such. And that's quite a broad statement, isn't it? Because sometimes other people are going to bring you happiness, but if you constantly just, things happen to me, yeah, it's not going to be a great journey. It's not going to be a great time for you. And to kind of caveat what we said there is, like, it's not about controlling everything. And there will be some things that happen to you that you can't take full responsibility for as well. You know, if you're walking down the street and someone attacks you, that's not really your responsibility. How you deal with it afterwards, you know, could be. But taking control and responsibility, you know, doesn't mean you have to do a million things. You know, going back to, I suppose, that menopause post where people are like, oh, you know, I'm crippled with fatigue and brain fog and stuff, like, okay, I'm not saying you have to get up at 5 a.m. and do a workout and prep all your meals and do these things. What can you do? What is possible? Could you log your food when you remember each day? You know, it's about, and that, you know, it's a big part of the coaching stuff, is it is like, let's meet you where you're at. A lot of times I'll give the kind of analogy of a driving instructor. So when the driving instructor meets a student, you've got to assess where that student is. Is this the first time they've ever been in a car or in the driver's seat? Because then you have to meet them there, right? This is how we start the car. This is the basics. Have they had 30 hours of, you know, driving with their parents, and they really need to tweak a few things? It's looking at where you're starting from, what you're able to do as well. Because again, you don't want to overwhelm people, but I've kind of gone into a bit of a coaching pitch there. Taking responsibility, obviously, I've said it about five times, is empowering, and it'll help you change, develop, and get better. It's the only way to make progress.
And it can be very difficult for people because social media, and this is where comparison is the thief of joy, is that there's a guy who's got one of the most famous transformations on the internet, and he achieved this phenomenal result in 3 months, 13 weeks. And it turns out at his I heard the guy who did it talk about it, and said at his consultation, he found out the guy had been like a junior Olympic gymnast and had just completely let himself go. And so he knew immediately he was going to be able to get this phenomenal transformation with this bloke. Now, if you compare that to some of the people that we work with who have never exercise consistently, who've been overweight for 30 years, who currently don't take very many steps, they don't eat any veg, they have no history of prepping their own food. They've grown up in an environment where food was used for comfort, for pleasure, was used as an emotional crutch. They haven't been taught emotional management. There are a million and one obstacles that people have. And so that's going to take a lot more work than the guy who was the junior Olympic gymnast. But you can't see that from the outside. You know, he and some of our clients would have looked the same on day one, but by day 90, he's going to look an awful lot different because he has all those skills in the bank that you can't see. And other people don't. Most people don't. But that's not something, you know, you can't cater for that. You can't do anything about that en masse, but you can just start with where you're at now and go, right, what's the first thing I can do? Like James says, what are the things that I can do? I've just released there's probably no point mentioning this if you listen to this any later than a week ago, but we've done some time management work recently. And so often people will say, I've not got the time. And you say, we've not got the time for what? I've not got the time to exercise. Okay, so what's your definition of exercise? And the issue always comes about that people are expecting to do 3-hour long sessions a week. So you need to ask yourself, you know, what do I have time for? Well, how can I fit this in? And instead of using obstacles or excuses as the final sentence in the paragraph, it needs to then be the trigger for the next question. Okay, what can I do? How can I get around this? What's the next step on this? And that is just a skill. People fall into the habit of learned helplessness, that this is just how things are. And it's quite hard to admit that that's what you've been doing. But we all have it in different areas of our lives. And it's just accepting that and then doing the best that you can.
Just to speak on that happiness piece, as we wrap up, Joe, I can feel we're wrapping up here, is I could have an awesome morning taking on my clients. I could have some great calls. I could take an early afternoon off and spend it with, you know, go for lunch with Tanya, Magnus, because, you know, I can do that because we work online. I could take a few hours off. You could have a great time and I could go home and I could open up my phone, look at Instagram, I could see the body coach and go, fuck, why is that guy so much more successful than us? Look how many followers he's got. Look how he's got his app and look at his house and all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, my happiness has just gone down the pan because someone else has got a completely different life, is, you know, in air brackets, doing better than me. I will ignore the great day that I've already had. I'll ignore all that happiness, this lifestyle that I'm building. Is that worthwhile for me? Is that of any value? Or should I concentrate on being the best dad that I could be, being the best husband that I could be, being the best coach that I could be, you know, helping as many people as possible? Which one can I take responsibility for? Not someone else's actions, not someone else's success. I can be inspired by that, but it just makes for a happier, healthier journey, something that I can focus on, right? Well, I can become a better coach, where I can help more people, where I can, you know, create this lifestyle where I'll be able to, you know, as you said earlier with you and Chrissy, you know, where I can build a better relationship or a stronger relationship or, you know, more experiences with my, you know, my son and my wife. I know I said husband then, my son and my wife. that's my job. And you can feel straight away there, like I can either compare myself to someone who's doing better than me and just go, oh, well, this is shit. Why am I slogging away at this? Or I can look at all the positives, all the things that I can control. Like spending more time with them, more quality time, going on, you know, more experiences and, you know, helping more people. Like, okay, straight away that feels different, even just speaking about it. It's like, ugh, oh, yay.
That's taking personal responsibility, that you're controlling what you can. You're also falling into that gap of making big assumptions that because somebody is successful in whatever guise you look at that, that therefore they have everything. You don't know Joe Wicks. You don't even know his middle name. Like, neither do I. And people do this all the time. And they just assume that other people, you know, they're focusing on areas they can't control. And so ultimately, but you know, by going on social media, you're giving up your personal responsibility. You're becoming a consumer. You're not doing anything that can help your life. And I know people say, I follow those people to give me motivation. Okay. I would be dubious about how effective that is and whether, you know, whether you need to be more motivated or whether you need to just focus on your own process. You know, it's all well and good me following other fitness business people online. Or would I just be better served speaking with my clients and the people that follow Sustain? Absolutely. I'm certain of that. That's the thing I've not done consistently and that I'm committing to doing better going forward. And so it's just that constant reflection, adjust, you know, constantly working on your process. If you spend too long watching what other people are doing, then you're not going to be living your own life.
Perfect.
All good.
All good. Thanks as always for listening, guys. Don't forget to join our free support group. Link will be in the description wherever you're listening to this. And don't forget to like, subscribe, leave a review. I don't know. Do whatever you want to do.
Thank you very much.
Sweet. Right, Joe, you've got... I think you're in charge because my...